Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, June the 15th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for all that you've taught us in the past. We are so delighted that you continue to show us in advance all that is to come, all that is occurring. And we ask only today that you would continue to give us the strength to be ready to face that which we are experiencing and that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's subject is the title of an article that I found in The Atlantic. It was published on January the 8th, 2021. Now, January the 8th is 2 days following the invasion of the Capitol on January the 6th. This article was published on that date, January the 8th, 2 days after, in The Atlantic. And the writer of the article is Emma Green, G-R-E-E-N. The title of the article is A Christian Insurrection. And that is the title that we're going to use today. A Christian Insurrection, found in The Atlantic, published on January the 8th, 2021, the writer Emma Green. And there's a subtext to that title. The subtext of the title is, many of those who mobbed the Capitol on Wednesday claimed to be enacting God's will. Now that's the article that was written, published on the 8th, 2 days after the Capitol invasion. As I said before, it's found in the Atlantic, published on January the 8th, 2021. Here's the article. Name of God was everywhere during Wednesday's insurrection against the American government. The mob carried signs declaring that Jesus saves, and signs which said, God guns and guts made America. Let's keep all three. Let me give you the name of that sign again. God, guns, and guts made America. Let's keep all three. Some were participants in the Jericho March, a gathering of Christians to pray, march, fast, and rally for election integrity. I remember we talked about this in one of our earlier articles, the Jericho March, where there were a bunch of people who came together and marched around the Capitol before the 6th. And that march around the Capitol was a symbolic of the original march of the Jews around Jerusalem, around Jericho, before it was assaulted, before it was broken down. So you notice that these people had a spiritual application to everything that they were doing. And this was not just political. All right. Continuing the article, it says, some were participants in the Jericho March, a gathering of Christians to pray, march, fast, and rally for election integrity. After calling on God to save the Republic during rallies at state capitals and in D.C. over the past 2 months, the marchers returned to Washington with flourish. On the National Mall, one man waved the flag of Israel above a sign begging passersby to say yes to Jesus. Shout if you love Jesus, someone yelled, and the crowd cheered. Shout if you love Trump, the crowd cheered louder. The group's name is drawn from the biblical story of Jericho, a city of false gods and corruption. The march's website says, just as God instructed Joshua to march around Jericho 7 times with priests blowing the trumpets, Christians gathered in D.C. blowing shofars, the ram's horn typically used in Jewish worship, to banish the darkness of election fraud and ensure that the walls of corruption crumble. The Jericho March is evidence that Donald Trump has bent elements of American Christianity to his will, and that many Christians have obligingly remade their faith in his image. Defiant masses literally broke down the walls of government. some believing they were marching under Jesus' banner to implement God's will to keep Trump in the White House. The group's co-founders are frequently and essentially unknown in the organized Christian world. Robert Weaver, an evangelical Oklahoma insurance salesman, was nominated by Trump to lead the Indian Health Service, but withdrew after the Wall Street Journal reported that he had misrepresented his qualifications. Irina Grosu, who is Catholic, recently worked as a contract communications advisor at the Department of Health and Human Services. Weaver and Grosu declined to comment on the Jericho March because it denounced any and all acts of violence and destruction, including any that took place at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. Now, of course, notice that these men have been called to do this work, to be a part of what they call the work of God in cleansing the nation and getting rid of the demons. They helped stage a stunning effort to circumvent the 2020 election, all in the name of their faith. White evangelicals in particular overwhelmingly supported Trump in 2016 and 2020. Some of these supporters participated in the attack on the Capitol on Wednesday, the 6th. But many in the country hold all Trump voters responsible, especially those who lent him the moral authority of their faith. This realization has shaken Christian leaders. I certainly did not believe or have any anticipation that Trump would take matters to the extent that would have become clear over the last few weeks. Albert Mohler, the head of an influential evangelical seminary in Kentucky, who hopes to be the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention, told me. Mohler opposed Trump in 2016, citing what he saw as the candidate's poor character. But last spring, he publicly declared that he would support Trump in 2020 and vote for the Republican presidential candidate for the rest of his life. We are undoubtedly in an amazing moment in which evangelical Christians who supported Donald Trump now find ourselves in the position of being tremendously embarrassed by this most recent behavior. Of course, you notice now that everybody is not together on this entire concept and the kind of behavior that was played out on January the 6th. But what is important that you understand here is that this was not just a political march. It had every application to these people's religious belief, and they followed it through to the T. Completing the article, it says this. Mohler said he was shocked by the triumph of the mob on Wednesday. He could not believe that the president had explicitly encouraged this attack on the constitutional process. Conservatives do not believe there is any excuse whatsoever for unleashing what amounts to be a destructive rage on the nation, he said. I asked him whether evangelicals who supported Trump have an obligation to grapple with their role in enabling Trump's behavior. I honestly don't know the extent to which history will record the evangelicals. I'm trying to think of the word you just used for supporting the president. What was the word you just used? Enabling the president, he said. I've been very clear in my criticism of the president's bad behavior. Surely he didn't vote for this. He couldn't have known that this is how Trump would end things. But he sees that evangelicals are due for a reckoning in their own house. Where we find ourselves in the wrong, repentance is always called for. Other evangelical leaders, who have mostly stayed silent during Trump's time in office, finally spoke out on Wednesday. Armed breaching of the Capitol security behind a Confederate flag is anarchy, un-American, criminal treason, and domestic terrorism. President Trump must clearly tell the supporters, "We lost. Go home now," said Rick Warren, an influential California megachurch pastor. But it was too late. Someone else had already grabbed the megaphone. This is bigger than one election, Grosso said on the Jericho March website. This is about protecting free and fair elections for the future and saving America from tyranny. Paranoid thinking abounded among the protesters in D.C. The QAnon conspiracy has circulated within some evangelical circles. On Wednesday, the Jericho March accounted for tweeting a number of individuals who were there to support the president. And there was a screenshot of Trump condemning Vice President Mike Pence for not stopping the certification of the Electoral College votes. A sad day in America, it said, along with prayer hands emojis. The march organizers were not mourning the attack on the Capitol. They were mourning the vice president's refusal to help the president overturn the election. And that's the end of that article, but it's quite intense. It describes a number of things that I'm sure you are already aware of. The title is A Christian Insurrection. And it simply is saying is, this was not a political march, but rather it was based on the belief systems that these people were embracing the idea that this was God's man and this was God's desire. In the Atlantic, there's another article that was published before that, however. This was published back on November the 15th, 2020. And the article was also written by Emma Green, G-R-E-E-N. The title of that article is The Evangelical Reckoning Begins. The title again, The Evangelical Reckoning Begins. Here's that article. Andy Stanley, a pastor of one of the larger mega churches in the country, ponders the future of an influential corner of American Christianity. Andy Stanley's evangelical megachurch was empty on election night, with only a few cars in the Disney World-style parking lot out front. North Point Community Church and its 9 satellites in the Atlantic area have been mostly closed since the coronavirus pandemic began in March. When Stanley decided to cancel in-person worship until at least early 2021, dozens of family were so unhappy that they decided to quit his church. Never once did I hear, "We're upset because we miss coming to church," he told me, leaning back in a heather gray wing-back chair. The vibe of his church offices is tasteful and inoffensive, as if his decorator was trying to channel that magic fixer-upper quality of looking distinctive while appealing to everyone around. What I heard was, "We're upset because you bought into a political agenda. We're upset because you believed the Democrats' narrative." In other words, what they're saying is, what the Democrats said, that there was this coronavirus, and as far as they're concerned, there was no such thing. And so therefore, staying home means that he bought in to the Democratic narrative. Continuing. Stanley had spent his career in ministry deliberating, avoiding this kind of politicization in his church. The 62-year-old pastor is a child of the religious right. His father, Charles Stanley, is a televangelist and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who wrote the devotional that President George W. Bush used to read each morning. "I grew up in a family that was very, very right-leaning," Stanley said. "I saw the hypocrisy there." He yearned to reach people beyond the conservative Christian world, to make the story of the resurrection irresistible to the unchurched. So he rejected his culture war inheritance and struck out on his own, and now the son has arguably surpassed the father. Andy Stanley leads a congregation of more than 37,000 adults and children each Sunday, second in size in the U.S. only to Joel Osteen's Houston Empire, according to some estimates. He's written roughly 2 dozen books, mostly Jesus-y self-help
including one that came out in October called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. North Point has a network of about 90 churches around the world, and young Christian leaders flock to the church for guidance on how to expand their influence. Sam Collier, a black pastor and friend of Stanley's, who is about to open Atlanta's first branch of Hillsong, the Australian mega ministry network, told me North Point is like the Christian Gap. The rise of Donald Trump, however, has made it harder than ever to separate evangelicalism from politics. Exit polls suggest that 3/4 of white self-described evangelicals who voted chose Trump for 2020, a slightly smaller share than in 2016, but still an overwhelming majority. To his credit, he's figured out how to leverage that group, Stanley said. I mean, he's not evangelical, but he owns them, and they've loved him. The pastor likened the relationship to a lyric found in Bob Hagger's Night Moves. I used her, she used me, but neither one cared. Soon, Trump will be gone, he said, but the conservative judges and justices he appointed will be in place for a long time. It's like got what we wanted. Stanley declined to join his friends in ministry on the Trump train, waving them off when they text selfies from Trump's tower. But neither has he joined the evangelical resistance, remaining notably quiet at times when other prominent conservative Christian leaders have spoken out, including after the deadly 2017 white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, and on the issue of family separation. He maintains that he doesn't want to be a headline news preacher and comments selectively on current events. This summer, he crafted a message focused on the killing of George Floyd. It's not that I don't have opinions. It's more that people don't come to church to hear my opinions. But while Stanley and similar giants inside the evangelical world have largely stayed out of politics during the Trump years, other evangelicals have been busy telling the outside world that their faith is completely aligned with Trumpism. This has created a dilemma Stanley and his allies are now saddled with as an image of evangelicalism they don't want and they didn't create. Before they can reach anyone with a message of faith over politics, they'll have to contend with the political baggage that fellow Christian leaders created. And of course, this is describing what is happening here in the Christian faith, in the evangelical world. Not all of the evangelicals are embracing the Trumpism that exists. There's some who would prefer to go back to simply having church, simply talking about our Lord and Savior, simply getting ready for the coming of the Lord. But it has become almost impossible to do that, even with some of the preachers on the pulpit. Their members have bought into this kind of politicization, and their lives now are completely colored and changed because of the politics that is involved. Today, you and I find ourselves in a world where this kind of Christianity exists, a sort of apostate Christianity that is lined up more as a political sense than a religious sense. And as you look at what is happening, you will realize that they have a political agenda that they are insisting on pursuing. Notice how this article ends. It says, in the Gospels, Jesus calls on his followers to go out, teach the message, and baptize people. Stanley has organized his life around this imperative, called the Great Commission. The question for evangelicals now is whether the undeniable association between Trump and their version of Christianity will make that work harder. Has this group of people who have somewhat become evangelical leaders aligned with Trump hurt the Christians' ability to reach people outside the church? Absolutely, Stanley says, but he's not overtly worried. A year or two from now, he said, all that goes away, he hopes. New leaders will rise up. The Trump era of evangelical history will fade. Stanley chuckled. And this will just be, for a lot of people, a bad dream. That's just some of the article. And I'm sure that you realize that there will be those who are, as we see in this particular article, those who are evangelicals, who have not joined the political stream, but who are facing some of the difficulties that come because of the environment that exists. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 describes this beast that comes up out of the earth that has two horns like a lamb, but speaks as a dragon. And one of those horns is Protestantism. It is easy to see that that brand of Protestantism that began when people decided that they wanted to follow Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, no longer exists. It has become a political weapon that is used to control and insist and to dictatorially control all of people's thoughts and actions. This is the speech of the dragon. This is what we have been warned concerning. And today God is calling us to turn from the apostate Protestantism and return to the fundamental faith that he embraced and began and then handed over to his disciples, his apostles, and sent them forward to spread to the world. Christ's return is near. The question is, are you ready? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless, that you continue to warn us, and we ask, Lord, that you would give us that which we need most, a transformation of character, a consistency in faith, and an obedience to your word, that we might walk according to your will and be baptized therein. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, June the 15th, 2021.